Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning. Praise God. Good to come in the presence of the Lord Jesus and just be blessed and refreshed. You know, the scripture says in Acts that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And Door County is a good place just to come up to anyway, just to get refreshed and kind of get away from it all. But to really, there's a deep down refreshing that comes from His presence. And I just trust you're blessed and experiencing that right now. As we're going to continue to delve on and now into His Word, and we get some interesting insights from the Apostle Peter about the last days. He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their lust, their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Message says, first off, you need to know that in the last days, mockers are going to have a heyday, reducing everything to the level of their puny feelings. They'll mock. So what's happened to the promise of His coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and everything's going on just as it has from the first day of creation. Nothing's changed. You know, we certainly are, and we can tell signs of times, whatnot, that we are living in the last days. And, you know, Jesus gave us a few heads up regarding the last days, if you remember. He said, you know, marvel not that the world hates you. You know, if it hated me, it's going to hate you. A student isn't greater than his teacher. That's a very good heads up to have. I'm glad He told us that. You know, that it shouldn't, He said, marvel not. In other words, we're not supposed to be surprised that the world may have a certain bias or an angle against Christians. We shouldn't be marveling at that. We should know Jesus told us that's going to happen. And that's a very comforting word to receive and to know that that's kind of part of the day we live in. But Peter also goes on to say, scoffers are going to come. And all of a sudden, it's not going to just stop at, you know, thinking you're weird or strange. There will be just like an attack on faith, kind of an anti-God. Where is God? Where is your God? And, you know, when the end times comes, is the things ratchet up. We know a few things, and we can go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, where the Bible says that in the end times, evil workers are going to wax worse and worse. This world is going to become a darker and darker place. But we also find out, when Paul's writing to the Ephesians, that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So even though the world is getting darker, the church is getting brighter and stronger and walking in more power and more of the fullness, even like that word we had this morning, that the church is getting stronger, walking out who she is in Christ. Finding out who she is and walking it out. So you've got these two things going on simultaneously, a darkness that's getting darker and a light that's getting brighter. And one thing that we know, no matter how dark the dark gets, we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So I don't ever have to be intimidated by how dark the dark gets. You know, the Bible says the darkness, you know, couldn't comprehend the light. Just couldn't comprehend it. And so we know that, yes, we've got this paradigm in the last days. But we also know and understand that in the darkness of the world that we were there one time too. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, that Jesus died for us. He demonstrated that love for us. And so as we see, you know, things getting darker, mockers coming in the last days, you know, we realize that, but at the same time, we've got a compassionate heart for the lost. Aren't you glad you're not lost? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Praise God that it's real. You get it. As the world gets darker and darker, I get more and more appreciative and thankful. Praise God that I can absolutely know in whom I believed. And I have this relationship with Him. And yet this relationship is not a relationship that anybody can see. It's not something that you can see with your eyes. It's just something that's on the inside of you. And I know that can be frustrating sometimes when you try to explain that to a person who doesn't know God. You know, how do you really know? How do you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? All those questions that will come up. And the technical answer to that question is, well, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. You know, that's almost kind of like a user manual explanation, technical explanation. You know, what does that mean, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit? Well, you know that when you receive Christ, something happened on the inside of you. And all of a sudden, you began this brand new journey. And yet, at the same time, it's not something that people can see with their eyes. Mockers are going to mock it in the last days. And it's important for us as we're growing, as we're walking, as we're fulfilling God's plan for our life, that we walk in the power of this relationship that we have with Him. So this morning, I'm simply going to minister along the lines of your invisible relationship with Jesus. Your invisible relationship with Jesus. You get a lot of the flesh, the world, and the devil has a lot of attacks in your minds and reasonings and things like that. And all of a sudden, everything that you do, everything you say is based and is orientated around this invisible relationship that you have with Jesus. There's pressure on your invisible relationship with Jesus. There's intellectual pressure. There's mocking pressure. There's all kinds of pressure you get, again, from this world, from demonic forces, of course, powers, principalities. Your own flesh wars against you and wants to know why you can't do the things that you would and things like that. But everything is being held together. You're here this morning, right now, because of an invisible relationship you have with Jesus. It's brought you here. And so we're just going to take this invisible relationship with the Lord, and we're going to look at a few aspects of it. And I just want to encourage you in your relationship with Jesus, in your invisible relationship with Jesus, and a few points here this morning. The first point, number one, your invisible relationship with Jesus is, it's supposed to be invisible. It's supposed to be invisible. You know, as we're going through some things down here, it's like, oh, if I could just see Jesus with my eyes. Oh, that would really help right now. Am I just kind of playing mind games? What's going on here? You know, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, I know that, but I'm wrestling against something I can't see. Is this really real? You know, it's just like, you know, is this, what's going on? This invisible relationship with Jesus. You know, we need to just kind of be reaffirmed this morning that this relationship with Jesus, invisible relationship, it's supposed to be invisible. Peter writing again, he says, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Of course, they had their mockers in their days, too, that they had to deal with. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Praise God. You know, Peter is writing to people who have never seen Jesus. That's pretty amazing to think. You know, he, of course, did see Jesus. Peter was an eyewitness of Jesus, saw him firsthand. But the people he's writing to are people that didn't have that one-on-one physical relationship with Jesus like Peter did. But we also see, too, from our Lord Jesus, that this is the ultimate pattern and design. This was, you know, shortly after the resurrection. It says, in the same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. This is after the resurrection. And said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now Thomas, called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus is talking about the future converts and his future disciples. And you can see the pattern already just established right after the resurrection that Jesus says, you know, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed, but blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed." He didn't say intellectually challenged are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Intellectually weak or emotionally needing a crutch. No, he said blessed, blessed, blessed are those who don't see and yet still believe. We could see from our Lord, our Savior's lips, that this is the relationship that we are to have with him. This invisible relationship with Jesus, it's supposed to be invisible. He designed it that way. He wants, you know, he's letting the disciples know, "You guys have seen me, but the time is coming when my disciples are going to be people who have not seen me, and they will be blessed." Now he kind of begins to foreshadow about what's to come. He says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now this is quite a progression of truth here. We're finding out not only they are about to have an invisible relationship with Jesus. Now they didn't quite fully know that. Remember, Jesus was ascended. You know, they asked him, you know, "When will you restore the kingdom? You know, Jesus, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "You know, it's in my Father's hands, the times and the seasons for that stuff. It's all right." And then he ascended. He went out from above and they saw him ascend into heaven. And the angel said, "Hey, look, the same Jesus you saw ascend, he's going to descend." And they went and they were excited, went rejoicing, tarrying in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But in their minds, they were thinking, "Man, let's see, you know, he waited 8 days from the time that, you know, he appeared to us and then with Thomas. So, you know, maybe he's going to come back next week or next month or next year." Little did they know that that was really going to be the last time they saw him, as it were, in the flesh until they died and went to heaven to see him again. They were going to have this invisible relationship with the Lord. They've known on the earth for about 3 years. But the rest of their years on the earth, which is probably about 20, 30, maybe 40, you know, John lived for quite a while, was going to be an invisible relationship. They were going to know him by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go. It's to your advantage that I go. For if I don't go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now think about this. They had to be wondering, how could it be better for Jesus to not be here, be in heaven, to be ascended into heaven? But he said that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come to you. I think the day and age we live in, we can kind of understand this in a neat way because of the technology that we have. You know, a lot of us at home, we have computers. And, you know, back in the day, you know, you had kind of the one computer, the family computer, and you had to take turns, you know, getting on the computer or using it or whatnot. And you just couldn't all be on that computer at the same time. And when Jesus was on this earth physically, you know, if Peter wanted to ask Jesus a question, John had to stand in line and wait before Peter got done talking to Jesus, before he could talk to Jesus. You know, this is all they knew. They'd kind of talk with him, hang out one at a time. But Jesus is saying, "But this is going to be better." He's saying, "This is going to be more expedient, better for you, because when I go, the Helper is going to come." And I kind of think of it this way, and you know, the way we think of computers these days, now you realize that you know, we've got all kinds of computers, devices, and things like that. It's what we'd call a network, where, you know, Jesus is no longer just hardwired into a single user like he is down here during his earthly ministry. But now Jesus, he's in the cloud, right? And that's better for all of us. Praise God. I don't have to wait for you to finish asking Jesus your question before I can talk to him. Praise the Lord. It makes the relationship invisible, granted, but very accessible. So there's kind of a trade-off here. Jesus saw the trade-off was coming, and he knew that it was going to be a better deal. But what are we saying, first of all, about this invisible relationship that the world mocks and you kind of wonder, it's supposed to be invisible. Just because you haven't had a vision of Jesus, that's okay. You don't need to have a vision of Jesus. In fact, people can get off on visions and things. You know, visions is definitely part of a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can and does work and move through visions. You can look through the book of Acts. Absolutely a valid ministry of the Holy Spirit. But it is the exception and not the rule. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be our guide. And as we begin to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit that he sent as it relates to our invisible relationship with Jesus, we find out something very powerful, very important. Sometimes it can be easy in our minds to almost compartmentalize because we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all right? But we got to understand something that in our invisible relationship with Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is not compartmentalized apart from Jesus. All right, I'm going to put it this way. The Holy Spirit is Jesus speaking to you. This is a very important revelation that we have to get. Because sometimes I got this great relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you've got a really great relationship with the Holy Spirit, I can tell you something. You've got a great relationship with Jesus. You do. Jesus, he said this. He said, now this is kind of in the flow of, you know, it's going to be better for you. He goes on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And think of it, it was 10 years before the first Gentile came into the church. And that was controversy and scandalous then. There was a lot of things Jesus would have liked to tell him at the time, but he had to wait. That was just one of them. I still have many things to tell you now, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to this. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Praise God. The Holy Spirit isn't speaking on his own authority, but he'll take the things of mine and declare it unto you. Man, do you like the things the Holy Spirit is showing you? That's Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, showing you those things. In other words, the Holy Spirit isn't kind of sizing up your situation and giving you counsel and advice accordingly. The Holy Spirit is taking the things of your Lord and Savior, your Lord, and he's leading you through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's an important connection to make. That's Jesus. That's why when you get really excited and happy, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, Jesus had that same role when he was on the earth. He said over and over, he said, hey, I didn't come to do my own will. I just came to do the will of him who sent me. I say what I hear him say, and I do what I see him do. It's the Father in me, he does the works. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we know he's the Trinity. We know he's perfect. We know he's God. But at the same time, he said, I came to say, I am simply emulating what the Father is showing me to do. That's very, very powerful. And so when you get that, so if the disciples are hearing this, you know, the Father, he's doing the works. And so, you know, what do they want to do? What do they want to see here? This is Philip. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Oh, I mean, and that's where I've kind of gotten in that place too. I say, oh, just sure be hand. You know, it's like, Holy Spirit, just show me Jesus, and that'll be sufficient. Just let me have a vision of Jesus, and then I'll be sufficient. And what would the Holy Spirit say? Ed, have I been so long with you, and still you don't know me? The Holy Spirit in you is emulating the very heart, will, words, compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. When you experience the Holy Spirit, you're experiencing the words and the compassion and the love and the joy of your Lord Jesus. It's important. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and the teaching and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But let's not disconnect it from Jesus. Him from Jesus. He's communicating the heart of our Lord. Praise God. That's why when I get someone, I say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's not a competition in the Trinity or anything like that. But we're talking about our invisible relationship with Jesus this morning, okay? So as we're talking about this invisible relationship with Jesus, you got to realize that when the Holy Ghost is showing you things, that's Jesus, that's relationship with Jesus stuff going on in your heart. Man, connect that. Praise God, thank God for the Holy Ghost, and enjoy, and I'm not taking anything away, obviously, the ministry, but I'm just saying, let's also realize that those amazing Holy Spirit connections, that's Jesus right there. He's just passing along, right? He's just kind of passing along what Jesus tells him to say and to do. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord. He's the Lord of my life. What does that mean in a practical sense? That means that he has divine authority, completed supreme authority, Lord, and he is communicating his lordship through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so praise God. He's leading and guiding me into all truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, since we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin, which so easily ensnares us. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that a powerful statement in verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you know that you ultimately are not the finisher of your faith? Jesus is the finisher of your faith. As you're looking unto him, now you're the looker unto, all right, as it relates to your faith, you're the looker unto Jesus. And as you look unto him, he's finishing your faith. He's showing you things. You're seeing things in the light of his love, in the light of his light, in the light by the revelation of the Spirit of God. But he is finishing. He's working on you. And that's where we can get into trouble when we try to finish our faith. It can be a dark, confusing place. But what does he say? Just look unto Jesus. Man, just keep your focus right there. Do whatever you got to do to just keep your mind on him and keep it on things above. That's what Colossians 3:1 says. Set your mind. If then you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. And there's something powerful about that. Spiritually, to be spiritually minded is to be tuned in. It's to be life and peace. Once you're tuned in, And there's a lot of stuff you don't know, but there's one thing I do know. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he absolutely loves me, and he's raised from the dead, and he makes intercession for me right now. He's for me, and Lord, that's good enough no matter who's against me. If God is for me, what difference does it make who's against me? And that's good enough, and so I don't have to get all trapped up and working through everything about everybody who's against me. Praise God. I can be looking unto Jesus because I know he's for me, and as I'm looking unto him, he's going to help me finish my faith. He's going to show me some things by revelation. I could stand up here and tell you to forgive, and you know that the word of that. But as you're looking unto Jesus, he can tell you to forgive in a way that just like, oh, yeah, praise God. Yeah, big revelation. But you're looking unto Jesus, and he tells you, and it's like, wow. Well, this invisible relationship with Jesus is so real. It's so powerful, profound. We call that revelation, what Paul says. I pray that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, this unfolding of these truths. I love how Paul writing to the Philippians puts it. He said, I just love the affection that comes through this. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, this is right for me to think that, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Boy, you can tell Paul had a real affectionate relationship with his Jesus. And it just flowed right from his heart. There is a connection in his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're talking about your invisible relationship with Jesus Christ, be sure in your heart and in mind as you're experiencing, as God is showing you things by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you remember who that, you know, where that, the things you're getting is coming from. It's coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The message says the mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. That is, it's that simple. That is the substance of our message. Praise God. You know, it's pretty powerful thought to just realize, and just like, you know, the disciples said, boy, Jesus, yeah, I know, show us the Father. Show us the, you know, there's something about being satisfied that blesses God when we say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for showing me things to come. And when I'm praying, praise God, He ministers to my spirit. He strengthens me on the inside by His Spirit. I mean, invisible stuff that you can't even fully comprehend and know. You know, I just want to share a couple things quick along the lines in my journey. Now, it's exciting when you think about it. You're here today, right now, because of that invisible relationship you have with Jesus. If you're visiting, if you're from out of town, I mean, who is going to spend a Sunday morning on this beautiful Door County getaway and come to church? There's got to be something in you that is going to take part of your time and your vacation to come here and to worship God and be in the presence of God. There's got to be something invisible drawing you here this morning. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, because He's real. Praise God for the beauty of nature, but there is a refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord that the trees and the waters just can't by themselves give you. You're drawn by that. You're drawn by His Spirit. And as I look back in my life, I'm excited because I can see in my own life how I'm here where I am today because of this invisible relationship with Jesus. He has drawn me. He's led me, guided me. There was time in my life, just in my walk with the Lord, you know, as a teenager, when God just began to stir in my heart and began to stir in my heart to begin to, you know, hunger and thirst and go after Him. And I remember it was the summer of 84. I was raised in a great Lutheran church, but in my heart I just knew that I just needed something more, that God was leading me. Invisible. There was nobody in my church or my family that was saying, Ed, you need to do it. No, it was just the Holy Spirit. And as I began to just hunger and thirst and be led by the Spirit of God, I began to go around to some other churches and different things like that, and I began, by the Spirit of God, to really find out just the powerful importance of the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, if you had probably asked me one question, test true or false, is the Bible the Word of God, I'd have probably passed. But the Holy Spirit begins to unfold things, and all of a sudden you begin to hear, you know, the Word of God, the words of Christ preached and taught, and there's something inside you, the Holy Spirit, that begins to illuminate and show you things from the Word of God. It was an exciting time for me. And I was just kind of in a situation. I like to say I was actually, during that summer, I was having what I call a theological crisis. Okay, if you ever had one of those, I don't know, but I had been dating a girl, not Julie, but a girl who was a Pentecostal girl who believed that unless I spoke in tongues, I was going to hell. Very adamantly believed that. And I'd been walking with the Lord for quite a while at that point, you know, and just really knew the Lord. I knew my Jesus. I had that invisible relationship with Him down. Came too late to tell me that I didn't know Jesus. I already knew that I knew Him. You know, but at the same time, I was kind of compelled and thought, you know, there's some good points to bring it out in the Bible. And so I was kind of on this quest, you know, regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, for me, it was one of those deals where, if you really research that topic, it's one of those situations where literally if what you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because there are people that believe, like I said, the church that she went to, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not really saved. You know, you haven't really believed. The tongues is really the evidence that you've sincerely believed from the heart. They kind of take it almost as a status, like you're the real thing. That's very upsetting when you've already had relationship and a deep walk with the Lord. Somebody come along and look down their nose at you like that. You know, but on the other hand, I would go in the scripture and I'd find out some other things that people were saying on the other side. And they were saying it's fanatical, it's just hyper, it's just emotional jibber-jabber. People intruding into things that they haven't seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, you know, getting off into some junk, and it's just, it's demonic. It's absolutely demonic. So, like I said, I'm having my theological crisis of 1984. Tongues. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, in the most literal sense. And, you know, you're going to have those situations, and a lot of times what people will do is they'll just kind of settle politically and think, well, I'm going to pick the one that's going to offend the fewest amount of people, especially my family. That's one way to do it. But for me, God has been leading me here, and I didn't have any. It was just like the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding me here. When you get into these kind of crises theologically, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. He can settle those controversial issues. Praise God. And I just love the fact that I have that precious relationship with Him that I could pull into and search the scriptures and see if those things were so or not for myself. And listen to the Holy Spirit. And as I was kind of being led to different churches, I remember the church that the Lord led me to that summer. It was actually a non-denominational charismatic church, kind of like what we are today. What we are today. But the thing of it was, is the pastor of that church, you know, I kind of sat down with him and I said, so what's the deal with here? You guys believe in tongues? He goes, yeah, we believe in tongues. I said, do you believe you got to speak in tongues to be saved? He goes, no, not at all. You know, and he just really kind of set me at ease and said, look, Ed, no, you're obviously saved. You know the Lord. And, you know, he said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's something, it's an additional dimension in prayer that'll empower your life. It's available to you, but it doesn't define your salvation. God doesn't love you any more or less whether you speak in tongues or not. You know, it's another experience that's available. It was just like, that's right. That's good. Because that's what I saw in the Bible. And it was like, yeah, praise God. That's good. That's good. And it was so exciting. The Lord led me to a church that believed in it that I was still fully kind of trying to figure it out myself. I didn't really, wasn't strong, you know, one way or the other. But at that time it was like, you know, praise God. The thing that I liked about this church is I had the freedom to work out my own salvation. You know? It wasn't like, come on, you don't, what's wrong with you? You don't speak in tongues. No, I'm glad that spirit wasn't there at all. I was just able to very peacefully and calmly just study the scriptures, work it out, and just, and you know, for me, it was probably about a half a year later, by myself, in my bedroom, just worshiping God, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, my hallelujah has turned into a flow of the Spirit that I just praise God. I thought, man, this is just such, so easy. Oh, it's such a flow. It's like, yeah, it wasn't like what I was, you know, it's not a spiritual credential. It's just the flow of just, you know, I was just like somehow in that time, I finally just yielded to it. I didn't earn it. I didn't read enough scripture to get it. There was not a, it was just a yielding, and praise God, it just flowed. It was so simple, so easy. And, you know, once I've got that, you know, it's like, praise God. There's people that'll come along and say, oh, you speak in tongues, it's of the devil. It's like, well, you're a little too late for that. I know what it's like when I'm yielded to the flesh, and I know what it's like when I'm not living for God, and I never have ever once been tempted to speak in tongues when I'm not living for God, I can tell you that. You want nothing to do with tongues when you're yielded to the flesh. This is 35 years of practical Christian experience and working it out. So I know that. But it's just one of those things where praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And of course, you know, when you get it, it's important. Praise God, you enjoy it. But I learned, boy, once I got it, I'm not going to be looking down my nose and carrying that weird swagger. And oh, thank you, Lord, it's a gift. But the Holy Spirit is what helped me in my theological career, that invisible relationship with Jesus. And I didn't have to get it all at once. You know, I know people have come to this church, you know, don't speak in tongues, and 5 years later, 10 years later, it's like, oh, wow, cool, praise God. You've got it. That's awesome. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, ultimately, I'm not your Lord. I like to say this all, you know, I'm your pastor, not your master. Jesus is your Lord. I'm here to, you know, equip, to feed the flock, minister the word of God, but ultimately, Jesus, your Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begins to unfold that word to you in a way that just will bless your life. Praise God. I just thank God for His Holy Spirit. I just thank God for how He gives revelation. And just to realize that that is Jesus. That is Jesus. You know, there's a time, too, when, you know, you can hear, sometimes you can hear different truths in the Scripture, and it'll bless you, and you'll kind of get some things. You know, I like to put it this way. You know, the emotional inspiration of Scripture can bless you for about 5 minutes. But the revelation that it's true will make you free. That's it. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's nice. I suppose, if I'm speculating according to those calculations, that I'm brand new, born again, awesome. But as you begin to meditate in the Word of God, study the Word of God. I remember for me, I was just kind of setting my mind on it. All of a sudden, I'm kind of just walking down, and all of a sudden, I'm kind of just beating myself up over having yielded to the flesh and something in my mind and thinking, oh, that's just me. And the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart, that's not you. And in a moment of time, I saw something. I saw, it was like glory. It was a brightness. It was clean. It was pure. God showed me my own human spirit, what He did with me in Christ. It's like I got a glimpse of the new creation. He said, that's not you. And what He said was this. He said, that's coming at you from the outside. That's a very powerful perspective change. I mean, oh, you're new. That's nice. But when you're walking with Jesus and He shows you things, it's like, whoa, okay, that's amazing. A preacher can stand up on a Sunday morning and tell you that. But the Holy Spirit can show you in a way that's like, wow, it's really true. One of the most exciting things about being a Christian, and you find out the truth is really true. That sounds very profound, I know. I've been saying for years, I believe the Bible's the Word of God, but I believe it more today than I believed it last year at this time. Oh, I'm telling you what, I've been kind of on the kick a little bit this summer about mustard seed faith, simple faith, simple faith. You know, what's kind of funny is in the natural, things can tend to be more layered and complicated. In the Spirit, as you grow, things tend to get unlayered and less complicated. As you just begin to take God at His word. But praise God, it's true. The truth is really true. And Jesus, who's the Word made flesh, said, Father, separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. One of the things that He does by the Spirit of God is He begins to make those truths, you're a new creation, real. And it's like, wow, it's not just a feel-good scripture. It's really true. It's really true. And this invisible relationship with Jesus, I love how Paul prays for the Ephesians. He says, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That word revelation literally means to unclothe, to reveal. Think of like a drop cloth on a statue. You can kind of see the form, but when He takes the drop cloth off, you can see it clearly. That's what happened to me with the revelation of the new creation. You know, somebody say, you're brand new. I'd go, oh, that's nice. And I'd kind of see a form with a drop cloth over it. But when Jesus revealed it, it's like, wow, praise God, it's really true. Hallelujah. You know, when you know who you are in Christ and Jesus, it's hard to spook somebody like that. It's hard for the devil to spook somebody like that. It's hard for people to get you down on yourself when you know who you are. And Jesus wants you to know who you are. Not just an emotional deal that it's really true. It's really true. I've just been getting the revelation that, wow, I'm going, praise God. You know, it's amazing how I tend to feel less sorry for myself about having to walk by faith when I know the truth is really true. Praise God. Wow, it's really true. There's a lot of stuff I don't even have to work through if I just know the truth is true. But Jesus shows us that, makes it clear, makes it real to us. Last scripture along these points, I love what Jesus said. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Amplified, wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers, into my name, there I am in the midst of them. Message, when two or three of you are together, because of me, you can be sure I'll be there. You know, that's what we experienced this morning, just as we're worshiping corporately. There is a presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're born of His Spirit, you sense the presence of His Spirit. I think, You know, one of the things that we are going to be so surprised about, and it kind of takes me into my final point, it's a temporary arrangement. When we're talking about an invisible relationship with Jesus, it's supposed to be invisible. The Holy Spirit is Jesus speaking to you, but this is a very temporary arrangement. It's not going to be invisible forever. It'll be visible much longer than it is invisible. In fact, the Bible says it's a vapor, that it's invisible. But boy, does it bless the Father when we just walk by faith in this invisible relationship in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us clearly, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So right now, the invisible relationship, we're seeing through a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Praise God. I'm going to know just as I am known. Am known of God. God knows me pretty well. I'm going to know just as I am known of Him. Revelation 5 says, they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll, open its seals, for you were slain. You've redeemed. This is our worship to Jesus in heaven. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Praise God, declaring that you've made us kings and priests to our God. I think one of the most powerful things you're going to experience once your spirit leaves your body, if the Lord tarries and you die physically, when you go and to be present with the Lord, is how familiar. Heaven's going to have a very strong sense of familiarity. Glorious beyond compare, and yet gloriously familiar. That same spirit, same Jesus. Wow, this is you. I know this presence. I know this peace. I know this joy. Yeah, it's amped up, but I know it. It's familiar. It's home. It's home. This is temporary. I'm thankful I live in a mortal body. You know, that's why, you know, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. He said, man, they ate of the tree of knowledge, but they eat of the tree of life. They'd live forever in that state. Praise God. Praise God, He kicked them out of the garden. Praise God, these bodies are mortal. Oh, could you imagine? No, I'm thank you for an expiration date. I don't want to be here forever. Oh, because I'm telling you what, when you get a taste and you know, I'm telling you, there's just nothing like it. There's just nothing in the world. It's temporary. And you know, you got to think of it, you know, for the unbeliever, this is as good as it gets. For the believer, for me and you, this is as bad as it gets. They shall see His face, that's us, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then He said to me, these words, by the way, are faithful and true. They're true. They're true. They're not emotional, inspirational, feel-good scriptures. They're true. We are going to see Him face to face. This invisible relationship that we have that gets mocked daily by the world is temporary. It's temporary. You're going to see your Lord. There's a great poem that came out, you know, just about when I come home to heaven, how joyful it will be on that final day at last, my risen Lord I'll see. You know, why should I let cares weigh me down? There'll be a distant memory when it lasts at home I go, or something like that. But it's a picture of a person just hugging Jesus, being with Jesus. You know, that's our destination. That's where we're heading. We got an invisible relationship with Jesus. He loves us. He's leading. But we got to realize it's supposed to be invisible. Just being comforted by that. You're not going crazy. If you're having wrestling thoughts in mind, and nope, that's normal. That's normal. You are going to be wrestling. You're going to have to take thoughts into captivity and bring them into the obedience of Christ. It's not flesh and blood. Power is principle. The enemy, you have an adversary. He roars That's not a real lion really roaring. It's powers and principalities that are roaring thoughts to your mind. Yeah, you got this battle going on. It's invisible. Be encouraged. Be comforted. Don't let the enemy, fool you or discourage you or isolate you or make you think you're... No, blessed are those who don't see and still believe. I'm walking hand in hand in an invisible relationship with Jesus. This is normal Christianity. Praise God. This is the way it's supposed to be. But although it's invisible, I'm connected. I got my cloud connection by the power of the Holy Ghost, and He lives on the inside of me. And when the Holy Ghost is speaking to me, that's my Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost taking things of Him and showing them unto me. And I don't have to say, Holy Spirit, give me a vision of Jesus, because Jesus is in me. He's been with me from the very beginning. Think about what He's brought you through. Jesus has been with you. He loves you. He's for you. Even though it's invisible with the natural eye, it's very, very tangible on the inside. He will help settle theological disputes, things like that. And you find out, too, as you're working through a lot of these theological things, we like to politicize, these are good guys, these are bad guys, and you can get into hate and anger and all that stuff. But man, the Holy Spirit is so much different than that. It's not about who's right and who's wrong, it's about free. Jesus didn't say the truth will make you right. He said the truth will make you free. When you get the Holy Ghost in you, you kind of learn that. And if you're free, you're right, but the point is... The point is, you're not fighting right and wrong anymore. I want to be free, even if it's against what I thought, if it's the truth, that's what I want. That's all right. But the Holy Spirit helps you, brings you to those places, and praise God. And to realize it too, as we're going through it, this is very, very temporary. We are going to absolutely see Him face to face one day. Can you imagine that? Seeing your Lord face to face, looking in His eyes and His love and ruling and reigning with Him. Praise God, that's where you're bound. That's your destiny. Praise God. We have an invisible relationship, a precious invisible relationship with Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning just for coming to live on the inside of our hearts, and we just absolutely are just in awe that You have given us the opportunity, each one of us, to be directly networked with You, to have our very own relationship with You, our very own personal relationship with You, that there's freedom, praise God, to work out our own salvation. There's freedom, Lord, to just search the Scriptures for ourselves and to allow our Lord Jesus to unfold to us by the precious Holy Spirit those truths in the Word of God. Jesus, we love You. We see You. We acknowledge You. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Lord Jesus, You are my Lord. Though I can't see You, I love You. I rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I thank You for the things You show me, how You reveal Yourself to me, how You make the Word real, how You unveil truth so I can see it crystal clear. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I will see You face to face. There is an appointed time that will happen. I look to You this morning and simply acknowledge You are my Lord. Jesus, today's my day. I'm calling on Your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, You love me. I've heard the story for years, but today I believe it. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised You up. I believe it. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God.